this piece, it's called Jesus Loves His Mandolin Player, number 16, and it was written by the man who wrote one of the instrumentals that we played when we played bluegrass. And I don't know what's with the guy. He really is kind of crazy. Apparently what happened is he started playing. He was respected as sort of one of the number one mandolin virtuosos, bluegrass virtuosos, and then he did something really strange. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories about what he did. And he ended up moving to Saratoga Springs, right near here. And somebody I used to take mandolin lessons from learned a lot from him, used to take all his lessons from him. So I decided that I would write Frank a letter, one, to find out if I could take some mandolin lessons from him, and also number two, because somebody said that they would put up the money to have him come play here. And so I wrote him these letters. I got back these amazing letters, about a paragraph long, in bright red typewriter ink. And this is a grown guy, and he sort of rattled on about how he didn't really know. I had asked him something about whether or not he used a special tuning for his mandolin on this piece. And the guy, he's from Kentucky or something like that, and from a family of a lot of people. And I kind of got the idea that he didn't really know what the names of the strings were on the mandolin. I mean, that was the only thing I could figure out from the letter I got. But he said that he hoped I had a nice time, and said he hoped I would write again. So I did. So the next letter I wrote him, I wrote him and I asked him if he would come and play here. And he said, sure, he'd love to come and play here. And just after I wrote him and asked him to come and play here, and he had replied, I'd heard about that he wasn't actually, he'd come to play at Skidmore College, and they never wanted to see him again. And so he was coming here to play, and it got around time to call him up and see if, the plan was that me and a couple of friends of mine that were in a rock and roll band that we were in last year, we're gonna back him up. And hope you're interested in this. And So we called him up, and I talked to him on the telephone. Oh, he had called the house and talked to friends of mine a lot. And these friends would come up to me and say this guy had called. And they'd had like 25-minute phone conversations with this guy that they'd never spoken to before. But and so he was all set to come. And I called him up about 4 or 5 days ahead of time to tell him where I live and to tell him what we do about rehearsing and whatnot. And I called, and Mrs. Wakefield answered the phone, and apparently Frank had decided to go to California. Only he was supposed to have been back from California in time to come play. And so I was getting a little nervous, because I really wanted to play with him. And so I keep calling, and right down to, it was supposed to come on a Friday, and right down to about the Thursday night I was calling. And I would get, every time I would call, I would either get his little kid, who would pick up the phone, and I'd say, hi, is Frank there? And he'd say, no, Frank's not here, goodbye. And these were long-distance phone calls I was making. Or else I would get his wife, and his wife seemed obviously disturbed that Frank had not come home from California. So I felt really terrible, because I was calling up, and I was getting his wife, and his wife was just feeling really terrible. So anyway, Frank never came home from California until about 3 weeks, oh no, about 8 weeks ago or something like that. So he was only about three months late for the job. So he writes these pieces where he lives in Saratoga, as I said, and apparently there aren't many bluegrass musicians around there. So he plays a lot of solo things in a coffee house there, and I guess I've heard that these pieces came out about a lot from his improvising in the coffee houses there. And so I figured out one, and I just thought I'd close this half of the concert with it. You want to hear it again?